Amen. So this believer conversion, this workout conversion.
This conversion is making me call a believer.
Hallelujah. Believer. Hallelujah. Workout conversion.
So
amen. Glory to God. Father, we want to welcome you all to this meeting. Workout Convention 2022. Amen. So we have a couple of things to look at. While we have a focus, hallelujah, for this meeting. By God's Spirit, that will be sharing with us from, on a topic I titled Partnering with the Spirit. Partnering with the Spirit. Matthew 28. Partnering with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 28, 4 verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's the word of authority, exousia in the Greek, is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Say, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark 16. Mark 16. From verse 16. Mark 16. Verse 15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, so they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and went forth and preached everywhere. So with the Lord walking with and confirming the words with signs following. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Okay, let's look at Luke before we go ahead. Luke 24 from verse 45. He said, and he opened his ear understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He said, and so he said to them, he said, open up the cracks. Remind me, a lot of scriptures just rolling through me. Hallelujah. Okay, and said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's it. And that repentance and remission of sins, watch that, be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Go to God. So most times, people will ask that question, why do we always have to read Matthew 28, Mark and Luke and John? Now, why must you start teaching that way? Why is it important? See, it's important. Hallelujah. So because the reason why we have to go again and look at the closing remarks of Jesus is because that closing remarks of Jesus becomes the foundation of everything that was done by the apostles in the book of Acts. Everything that was done by the apostles, it becomes the foundation for it. But that was when they received that instructions to go into the world. That was when they received the instructions to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So I will have to go back again and look at that instruction. Hallelujah. Everything done by the apostles in the book of Acts. And the instructions we receive in the epistles. The instructions in the epistles. Hallelujah. Everything done by the apostles in the book of Acts. The instructions that they gave in the epistles, how they wrote to the churches, will all proceed from that singular instruction. Hope you're for you. Hallelujah. So that means that instruction forms the foundation of our Christian life. The foundation of the Christian walk. It is the foundation of it.
It is the bedrock of our Christian walk. So we have to look at it always.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when I get back to Matthew and it says teaching them.
By using that word teaching them did that school. Using that word teaching them did that school. It shows knowledge is very vital in Christianity.
Knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge is vital in Christianity.
In fact, you put it this way, Christianity is a faith of knowledge. It's a knowledge-based faith. Is a knowledge-based faith.
It's a knowledge-based faith. Knowledge is important.
Hallelujah.
In 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, look at 1 Timothy 2, look at how Paul will put it. The same instruction Paul says. I'll start with verse 3. Therefore, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. See, who will have all men to be saved? Did you see that? All men to be saved, right? Is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? And to come to the knowledge of the truth.
All men to be saved and to come to knowledge. So it's God's desire that will get men saved. Hallelujah. And bring them to the knowledge of the truth. So the reason... Okay, follow me. So that means the reason for the leadership in the local church. That means the reason for the leadership in the local church is primarily for knowledge. You can't write that out. Say for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the reason for the leadership in the local church is for men to be taught. For men to be taught. Look at John.
John 21. John 21. Verses 15. Jesus to Peter. Verse 15. And as they died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, son of Jonah, say, lovest thou me more than this? And he said to him, yet no, Lord. Hallelujah. Yet no, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said to him, feed my lamb. And he said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said again to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said to him, feed my lamb. Did you see that? In 17 told him again the third time. And he said, feed my lamb, my sheep.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you use the word feed here, feed is for how you lead. The use of the word feed here is how you lead. It's how you lead, how you teach. So a pastor is first a teacher. Something we'll see as we begin to run this section towards the sermon, you discover that a pastor is a teacher. Amen? Amen. A pastor is a teacher. Ephesians 4:11. He said, and he gave some to be apostles. He says some prophets. He says some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He said for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says to will or come to the unity of faith. Hallelujah. And to the knowledge of the Son of God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So, the role of the pastor is that of a teacher. Do you see that?
That of a teacher.
In 1 Timothy 3, here is Paul giving the qualities of a bishop. He says, and this is the truth, saying that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Say, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Do you see that? Apt to teach. That is the word didacticos, which is to be skillful. A pastor must be skillful in teaching. Remember, lady, a pastor must be what? Skillful in teaching. Amen. In 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, 4 verses 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing, at his appearing and his kingdom. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Verse 2. It says, preach the word in instant, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So he gives that instruction to a pastor, and who is Timothy, and he tells the pastor to preach the word. You see that? It's an instruction to the pastor. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, he said, there are things which you've heard from me among many witnesses. 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, they said, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He tells the pastor to teach. Hallelujah. To teach what? He said, the things you've learned. You see that? That word, the things you've learned from me, the thing you've heard, rather, from me, among many witnesses, the thing you've heard, that word heard there, is just for the things you've understood, that word heard, the things you've understood from me. You see that? So, a pastor should teach what they have come to understand from scriptures. You see that? Therefore, the role of the local church is primarily to teach God's word. It's primarily to teach God's word. Hallelujah. Why? Because the knowledge of God's word makes us effective. We're going to see that shortly. It makes us effective in our Christian work. It makes us effective. This is the reason Paul will pray for the church. What we call the Pauline prayer. Paul will pray for the church. What we call the Pauline prayer. And what will be his prayer for the church? Knowledge. Knowledge. We'll pray for them, knowledge. Hallelujah. We'll pray for them. We're going to get to see Paul's prayer for them. Hallelujah. But look at something Paul will say, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, for verse 9. He says, I have not seen, never has ear heard. He says, never has he entered into the heart of man. He says, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. See, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the Spirit which is in the man? He said, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He said, we receive not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. Verse 12. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see that? Amen? Amen? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 12. So that means there are things that we are freely given. Hallelujah. There are things we have received in salvation. Hallelujah. There are things we receive in salvation that we'll come to know because of our union with the Spirit. Isn't that? Hallelujah. Amen. So knowledge is important. So that is why Paul will pray for the churches to come to knowledge. In Ephesians 1 from verses 17, Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. Look at his prayer for them. Verse 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the wisdom of the Spirit. Did you see that? What does he call wisdom of the Spirit? He calls it what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Did you see that? Revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul's prayer for them is that of knowledge. Verse 18, that their eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the glory. Use the word that you may know. It's knowledge. Obviously that. It's knowledge. He's praying for them the prayer of knowledge. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians 1, verse 9. He prays for the church at Philippi. Verse 1 chapter Philippi, verse 9. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. This is that your love might abound more and more in knowledge. Why did he say in knowledge? Because if that is to say, you say that your love will abound more based on your knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that means you love more, or you become effective in your love work based to the degree of your knowledge. That's what he's saying there. Hallelujah. Look at how he will put it to the church in Colossae. Colossians 1, verses 9. Colossians 1, 9. Amen. Look at what he says to them. He says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, that is spiritual understanding. What does he call spiritual understanding? He calls it what? The knowledge of his will. You know that? Knowledge of his will. Hallelujah. Knowledge of his will. Let's see Peter in 2 Peter. Peter, 2 Peter. Second Peter 3:18. It says here, grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It tells his church to grow in knowledge. Do you see that? To grow in knowledge. He calls it the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are strong emphasis on knowledge. Hallelujah. Paul again in Philemon. Philemon 4:6. Oh yeah. He said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. So hearing of your love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord and towards all saints. You said that the communication of your faith might become more effectual. Is that the communication of your faith? Talking about now, yes, what did he call his faith? His love work in verse 4. Did you see that? Now, Paul wants his love work to become more effective. He said he prays for him. And the communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging epignosis of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That means by the acknowledging, he speaks about knowledge. So knowledge makes our Christian walk effective. You are following me? Knowledge makes our Christian walk effective. So a man will act to the degree of his knowledge. A man will act, will behave to the degree of his knowledge. Hallelujah. Watch a man's walk. A man's Christian walk, you know what he knows. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember years back, that was around some years back, that should be around 2006. Yeah, 2006. We were to have a meeting. To have a meeting, and there was this brother that has always been disturbing us. We were disturbing Sunday. Actually, I just took over from Sunday in that place. So he handed over to me to take care of the church and things like that. So he has been asking Sunday and myself that he wanted to minister because we will call up people to minister. But we refuse to allow that brother minister because he is very unstable. Amen. Very unstable. He doesn't come for meeting always. We don't see him all the time. So but he was always the only one wanted to preach. There's a brother then in church, in ministry then, his name is Dayo. Dayo was always preaching and Dari and Don Barry. Some of them were coming up and then they'll have that time Moses will come up to preach for like 10-15 minutes, then I'll come up and teach them. So he was always at that level. So one day we now decided to give him the chance to preach. At least there are still some people, how people preach. Let's just give him time to preach. So he stood up and wanted to preach. He wanted to preach. So that day we came to church, we informed you like a week or two that you're preaching this time. So we informed them. So we were ready, everybody came, we said, okay, as long as person is done leading in prayers, you will teach. Do you get it? So he stood up to preach. And when he stood up, he said everybody should close their eyes. We all closed our eyes in faith. That he wanted to pray and then we'll teach. Yeah, close our eyes. Close our eyes. I didn't even know why it didn't occur to us that because I'm still a Muslim, we should have just given respect to ourselves. Go ahead, have it. He also said that's the guy. Is it just occur to us? We'll call him Bro Ahmed. How about that? Is that not real? I mean, sorry, Bro Ibrahim. Sorry, Bro Ibrahim. Bro Ibrahim. So how about that? So we're okay. Let's allow him.
So he now started. Everybody close eyes, we close our eyes. He now said, bad angels are passing. So, and the way we sit, you don't need to sit the way we are sitting today, where everybody will sit. Well, us, we sit horizontally, as in, it will just sit straight line. We are not, don't increase, we don't want to overflow. We want to sit like this, straight, at the back of it. So just everyone close our eyes, we close our eyes. And say, bad angels are passing. And we're standing right in front of me, because me and Tunde will sit at the middle. So, to the left, to the right. My eyes were still closed. I was like, what is all this, God? How did that? I was praying for him. I was like, God, how did that allow this guy? Come on, is everyone close? Like, bad angels are passing. So nobody should talk. I was like, God. And you know the funny thing? I taught them some weeks before that everyone that stands to preach is taking standing in the stead of God. So you know, what's that? So now God is saying bad angels is passing. You know, you can't just start like, did I get into this trap? God, we were quiet for a while.
Yes.
Everybody was quiet. I was just thinking how I can just slap this guy and just get him out of here. I now said, okay, they're almost gone. I guess he mentioned something like, God, we used to go to the staircase. I guess he mentioned, maybe I'm imagining it, but I can't really picture that well. But I'm thinking when they said they are almost leaving the staircase, like that, something like that. And it's just, and I said, okay, yes, now good angels are coming. Good angels are coming, they're coming. So they just say, hey, come on, get out of that place. So we didn't now know whether he had something else to preach, or that was the preaching, but we didn't give him any, we didn't even allow the good angels to reach. We just said, amen. I'm about to say that, I'm just saying, sure you can see, because I used to call him Tunde's in-law for a reason. So sure you can see what your in-law has done. Because of family matters, you can see what your in-law has done. Amen. That was just so funny. But, what do you expect? It's just like you that led someone to getting saved, led someone to Christ. And the person is a Muslim. And tell the person, you know what, now that you are born again, you didn't teach the person. Now that you're born again, you need to be praying. You know, you need to be praying. You have not taught in prayer. He said, be praying morning and night. And you know this Bible, that says, reading the Holy Scriptures. How do you think the person is going to be praying and reading Holy Scriptures? The way he knows how to pray. So, there will be no doubt, because you've not taught him. The person is going to carry the mask too, and face Mecca. He said, I'm born again. And he said, I should pray. So he will carry the mat and face Mecca and pray. You will not be surprised when you come home one day or you go to visit and say, what are you doing? I'm praying. How are you praying? Allah is one back. Yes, now, because you didn't teach him how to pray. So have you been reading the Holy Scripture? He said, yes. What have you been in Quran chapter 5 verse 8? He said, how? He said, why is Holy Scripture? You didn't give me Bible. Amen. So that means you can assume. You can assume. Amen. As long as you have not taught that guy, you keep doing the same thing he thought is the right thing to be done. I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you not seen people who pray to angels? Those of you who pray to angels. How simple is it? They pray to angels. Holy Michael. So this one, you don't disturb God with it. You tell it to Michael. You tell this one to Gabriel. You tell this one to Uriel. You don't know Angel Uriel? Okay. You don't know Angel Samyanja? Not Sonija. So you don't know. Okay. Your knowledge. Hallelujah. He has to be effective. Your knowledge. Hallelujah. The glory of God. So you don't know Angel Uriel. Only angel Uriel will come to you. People have seen people who pray to angels. Some people pray, and they are praying to God. Some people, their knowledge is, have you seen people who cannot, they don't pray to God, but they can pray with beasts. You can't pray in tongues, you can pray with beads. It's beads. Amen? You pray with beads. Chaplaincy is just a modernizing his beads. You're touching beads and you're praying. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. You see people like that. That is the extent of their what? Of their knowledge. I met someone who told me, a guy, seriously was telling me, he was not even Afro, but this was years back. I was still in secondary school, but he told me, I laughed at him. That was when I started teaching him about speaking in tongues, and I laid hands on him in class, and I started speaking in tongues. But like, see, there are some issues that are deep, that God will not answer you. Amen? And it was years back, recently, like some years back, that I discovered where they got all those nonsense from. And it was things that God will not answer you except you tell it to Mary. So you now go through Mary to come to Jesus. What kind of business are now? But that was what, that is what they, that is their knowledge. Is it knowledge of the scriptures emphatically? No. What we are following me is not from the scriptures. Something that we'll see down in the second session. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People pray to angels. People pray to like I said, people pray to chaplain. People pray to calendar. You don't know? You hang calendar with Jesus' blood. Oh no, sorry. With a drawing of blood. That's because that is not Jesus' blood. Calendar. Or a drawing of blood. And they enter the house and they do like this. They bow to you. They do like this. To what? Says no. That is the blood of Jesus. How? Amen. Amen. Say the sacred blood of Jesus, printed on calendar. So they are praying and they are praying to. Glory to God. Amen. All the time they said Mary appeared on somewhere inside the bed. After a while, we now saw Muhammad inside the gutter. Don't keep doing nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen. A child was born. They opened his hands and they saw a piece of paper written by God. This take long. Another child was born. They opened his hands. They saw Quran. People should keep doing nonsense. But when they say Mary appeared, glass, on glass, Mary didn't appear, it was on glass. People were mad. I remember then, I preferred to watch my super story. Because that was a lesser super story. I was watching, I can remember the day, it happened on a Thursday, when I was watching super story, Suara. People left. This is the main super story. We were going to watch another super story. Some people now saw it in their prayer. I remember that day, the next morning, my mother, I busted lab going to prayer. I always have morning devotion. So years back, I was still in secondary school. But after morning devotion, I guess I was in SS 2. So after morning devotion, my mother was not praying. She said, Father Lord, you're talking, says, dear Jesus, thank you for your mother that came. That one was the height of it. I just opened my eyes. Prayer. Thank you for holy Jesus. What is this one now? I opened my eyes, I don't try this deep. So I now use that thing to Yabha when he now says, Muhammad appeared in the gutter at M2. And I said, okay, let's pray. You guys are not well. I didn't really know anything like the way I know in the beast today, but I couldn't go there. I didn't want to see. Because then people that were in secondary school knew I used to debunk all those Mary stories in secondary school. I couldn't go there. My friend Uzo Amadiwa asked me, because I said, didn't you go to see Mary? Mary, she be around. Mary appear. This guy, Mary appear. Mary not appear in anything. I for toilets in some type of glass.
What the guy told me is that if this man does not change you, nothing will ever change you, and that is it.
What kind of nonsense is that one? My mother would have said, Father, thank you for your mother. I was like, oh, how are you guys? I love you. I've shared this thing before here now.
Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody is now, somebody after all the knowledge of God's word that you know. After the knowledge of God's word that you know, you're still acting. You'll be actually acting. And you're a worker in church. Hallelujah. Someone said he went there and as soon as I know a woman I went there, that she saw Mary, she now fainted. Don't look at her. They started holding masks. They started holding masks for up to a month in that house. Masks. Hallelujah. Amen. Funny enough, they just renovated that block. And it happened in the afternoon when somebody was taking her bed. And he saw me laughing. Let's continue. Did it really happen? How will it happen? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, so Jesus' mother. I saw Jesus' mother. Where? No, they're not still weird. You know, people that I saw, you know, I saw revelation, I saw vision. You know, where did you see? I saw it in someone's house. Where in the house? Inside the toilet. Where inside the toilet? On top of glass. Louvers. The appearance of all louvers. What did she say to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not the Lumas. Call your company. Yeah. So people do this. People pray to things. Amen? Amen? So, but you know, that shows how porous they are in their Christian world. And that's what Paul will now pray for them. Right? Paul will pray that they become effective. Hallelujah. What does he pray for? Knowledge. Knowledge of the reality of what has happened to them in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, if you know God's word, if you know God's word about who you are in Him, and somebody tells you, come on. Jesus has appeared in Matthew 2. Do you know that because you're a child of God, you will not live where you are? I say you are going to go and see Jesus in Matthew 2. Okay, hallelujah. And people are seeing it, that Jesus, he has come physically again. He is there. You know you will not run. Because of the knowledge of God's word that you have. Amen? You're not going to criticize. But you know, you say, I'm going to Matthew, we're going to have to go and see Jesus. Sure, okay. Amen. You know you will not rush and say, I'm going to Adinyo to go and see Jesus physically. You know you can't do that. Why wouldn't you do that? Because you understand the fact that he lives in you. Hallelujah. So there is no... Okay, hallelujah. Yes, the whole Lagos, Jesus, I show you. You just be calm. He lives in me. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Glory to God. So, now you say, Peter has appeared. Paul has appeared. Glory to God. Glory to God. So some people are like that. They just see a picture. Say, this is me. But let me tell you what we used to do then. Very funny boys. Whenever we're coming back home, every secondary school, we usually will pass by Roman Catholic Church. Ah. God forbid that. But while we are passing, you will see we are bow down. We bow down. You see, so there's one of our friends, myself, Tunde, and one guy. So the guy, whenever we there, we bow down. So we crucify that guy. So we're not using it. So when we're not walking, we're not learning to be bowing down too. But that bowing down just in mockery of the guy. Well, people should stop bowing down. You are not a Catholic. Stop bowing down. So why do we not do this? We did that very believer. Your effectiveness in the service of God is to the degree of your knowledge. To the degree of your knowledge. So knowledge is important. Knowledge is important. Knowledge will show in your service to God. Glory to God. Too short. Knowledge is important. So, we are looking at partnering with the Spirit. So the question will now be, what is the Spirit doing that we are partnering with? What is the Spirit doing? Let's go back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. It says, teaching them. Right? So the Bible says, make disciples of every nation. He says, so make disciples of every nation. Now, when he says make disciples, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Remember, we said those instructions within the 40 days will be the instructions of the scriptures. Was that what we said? There will be instructions of the scriptures. Instructions of the kingdom. Was that what we said? Right? Instructions of the scriptures. Because Jesus read from the scriptures, Luke 24. He read from the scripture, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So the instructions will be instructions of the scriptures.
Hallelujah.
And we said, there will be instructions of the kingdom. Acts 1:3. He taught them within the 40 days concerning the kingdom of God. So there will be instructions of the kingdom. Now, there will be instructions of God. Because Jesus is God, he become flesh. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So Jesus is God. So it says that Jesus' instruction will be God's instruction. Right? Right? And God is a Spirit. So that will be the Spirit's instruction. That will be instructions in theology. So that means if I get back to where Jesus read from, which is the scriptures, the 39 books, I will find out, I will find it as God's instruction in the scriptures. I will find it, or put, I will find the work of the Spirit in the scriptures. These are instructions of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's get back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Say, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. So we said that God's plan for the whole earth to be heavens in all the earth. Right? Right? So when you use the word beginning, in the beginning, that word beginning is the word Roshit. The word Roshit in the Hebrew. Well, we also have the word Akei in the Greek. Roshit in the Hebrew. Roshit. Now, that word Roshit refers to a new beginning. For a new beginning. is not used for a beginning from nothing, but a beginning like a restart. Hallelujah, a restart. You'll find it used in Exodus 23 verse 19 for first fruits. Exodus 23 verse 19. He says, and the first of the first fruit of the land. This chapter, he calls it the first of the first fruit. The first of the first fruit. So when he uses the word first of the first fruit, it shows you that the fruit itself did not come on its own. Right? Did the fruit just manufacture himself? No. The fruit came from a seed, which was a fruit before it became a seed. Okay, follow me. So it's not a start from nothing, no, but a restart. Okay, follow me. So it's talking. So Genesis 1:1 is God's restart, God's new beginning. Moses was writing God's new beginning. Hallelujah, God's new beginning. So can we put Moses was writing to an Exodus audience, right? So when you hear in the beginning, in God's restart, would that be a beginning, a new beginning from Egypt, right? Right? A new beginning away from Egypt. Is that it? Exactly. A new beginning away from Egypt. Glory to God. A new beginning. He was referring to a new beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A new beginning. So that is why in chapter, in verse 28 of Genesis 1, look at what it says. Genesis 1:28. Look at what it says in verse 28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. When you are thinking, talking about procreation, he brings in the word malah. Where you have the word malah malay. Not odogu malay, but malah malay. Hallelujah. So it says, malah the earth. What does it mean? Replenish the earth. Refill the earth. He didn't tell you yet that the earth had nobody. No, there were people in the earth. Hallelujah. Remember? There were men in the earth. So, come on. So when they say we fill the earth, the use of the word malah means is not an initial filling. No, it's a refilling. Look at what it is. I mean, there are people and he's saying refill them with this kind. And what is he telling you? He has shown you before that the earth was without form and void. Do you understand me? Hope you're following me. The earth was without form and it's void. So that is man without the spirit. And it says we fill it with which kind? Heavens and earth. Do you see that? We fill it with which kind? Man in the image of God. We fill it with God's kind. Hope you're following me. That will be very vital. We're going to see all that soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he uses that word, Mala, it means it is for a refill, a refill, a refill. Let's see how the word Mala is used. In Genesis 6, verses 11. No, verses... Ooh, I missed it. Genesis 6, 11, okay. Are you there? So, it says, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. You see that? Well, the earth was filled with violence. Now, when you use the word filled, there's the word to be refilled. That means violence was taking over. You see that? That the earth was refilled. So it's not an initial filling, but a refilling. So violence is now being filled in the earth. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hope you're with me. So God will now, from there, now do what? God will now have a counter-narrative in Noah. In verse 12 into 13, God will now choose Noah, a man that will change it. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 9, verse 1, Noah. Chapter 9, verse 1. What does he tell Noah in chapter 9, verse 1? The same thing he told Adam. He says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and do what? Replenish the earth. Refill the earth. Mala. Hope you have seen it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Genesis 1:1 will be
God's task in all the earth, what we call God's plan in all the earth, which will be what? Heaven in all the earth. Heaven in all the earth. I would say, what was it writing about? You say it was talking about the heart of man, right? Heaven in all the earth. That is God's plan. Heaven in all the earth. So God's plan is in all the earth. So verse 2 and 3 explain Genesis 1. Hallelujah. God's plan is heaven in all the earth. So it now tells you the earth was without form and void. It shows you the earth without the heavens, right? I've shown you that more than enough for you to see. Hallelujah. That is the earth without the heavens. So the earth was without form and void. Right? And darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. You see that? Hallelujah. So let's take note of some things. What is verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens in the earth. Amen? So that would be God's work, right? The Spirit's work. So what is the Spirit's work? Heavens and the earth. Right? Now, it now shows you in verse 2 what man has done. So God's initial plan is heaven and the earth. So what do we have with man? Man was without God's Spirit. John 2. Right? Right? They have no wine. Isn't that? Man was without God's Spirit. It is empty and void, filled with darkness. Yet it tells you what the work of the Spirit is. What was the work? And the Spirit of God moved. Now mark that word move. Move. The word move doesn't mean he was walking about like base commander. No. The word move doesn't mean he was just striking around. No. The word move is used for one on an assignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One on an assignment. Glory to God. The Spirit of God moved. Like how you brought over the mother hen brought over the egg. This one on an assignment. Hallelujah. He said that is the work of the Spirit. So it tells you what the work of the Spirit is. Move over the surface of the water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what will Paul call chapter 1 verse 2, the work of the Spirit? We're going to see it. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, we're going to look at how it calls, we'll read 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 2 together to see what Paul is explaining here. 2 Corinthians 4, quickly. Hope you're following me. Are you there? Hallelujah. Even verse 4. It says, in whom? It says, verse 3. It says, if our gospel be he, it is he to them who are lost. So he's talking about the preaching of the gospel, right? I say, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Stop. Did that Genesis 1, 2? Is that Genesis 1, 2? So that means Genesis 1, 2 is the heart of man. The mind of man, right? The mind of man. It says what the God of this world has blinded. That means Genesis 1, 2 is talking about the heart, right? Okay? And look at, he says their heart is blinded through the preaching of the gospel, right? Right? So let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, to shine on them. You see that? So it then says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, Christ the Lord, and ourselves, your servant for Christ's sake. For God who commanded light out, to shine out of darkness, that shine in our hearts. You see that? That is Genesis 1:3. But look at what happens between Genesis verses 4 to 6 and Genesis 2:3. You will find the preaching of the gospel. Hope you're following me. So the preaching of the gospel is what you now call, let there be light. But we're getting to see those things soon. Now go back again to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. Paul explains it better again. I'm not using the word better, but he explains it there again. 1 Corinthians 2 4. Look at what he says. He says, my speech and my preaching
preaching, was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So if you're using the word demonstration there, is the word apodexis in the Greek. Apodexis in the Greek. Now, that word apodexis is used for how you put light on a dark surface. You see that? How you shed light on the dark surface. So it says the demonstration of the Spirit. So that means he's telling you in the preaching of the gospel is the Spirit's work. You see that? The Spirit puts light on dark surface. So where is the dark surface? Genesis 1:2? The heart of man? Exactly. Genesis 1:2, the heart of man. So in the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit shed light. That is, let there be light. I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So that means Genesis 1:2 is the Spirit's work also in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So I put in my notes. He said, Paul will say this will happen when the gospel is preached. It is the Spirit combating for souls. That means we're going to see it soon. Hallelujah. Amen. In Genesis 1:3, when it says, let there be light, as I've said, that will be when a man believes, he receives the light of God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So he receives the light of God. So what does Moses call that light of God? When he says, let there be light, he uses the word Hayah in the Hebrew. Is the word I am. I am. Meaning God calls himself as what man receives. He calls himself, I am light. Do you see that? So when John writes and said, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Where is he writing from? Genesis 1:3. God is light. Hope you are following me. Amen? God is light. So God, in Genesis 1:3, God calls himself as what is received. That is, he is the answer to man's problem. He is the answer to man's darkness. So the light, let there be light that shines in the heart, will be what? The gospel. I mean, will be God himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's plan is himself as the answer. Himself as the heaven in all the earth. That's God's plan. Himself as the answer. Himself as the heaven in all the earth. Hallelujah. So Genesis 1:1 will now be God's plan. And what will be that God's plan? It will be God's plan in all the earth. God starts in all the earth. You see that? Since God is the heaven. It's the heaven and the earth. So God's plan is in all the earth. God's tax is that the word of men will be filled with what God does. God himself in man. God himself in the earth, which the earth which is the heart of man. God himself as the answer. God himself. Hallelujah. This means in God's plan is included every man. Every man is included in God's plan. Every man. Every man is in God's plan. You know, don't be as funny as me and my friends years back. Because there's some people, it's just laziness to keep pushing for souls. It's lack of, it's laziness and not understanding God's long suffering. So we push to you, you don't believe, you say, this guy must have been destined for hell. He's not included in God's plan. No, every man is included in God's plan. I hope you're hearing me. Every man is included in God's plan. Every man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, how will it happen? Genesis 1:26 will be the seed of it. Will be the seed of it. The seed of what God will do in the earth. Man in his image. That will be man in the... I mean, that will be God in man. What we are following is man in his image. Identification. Identification with deity. Identification. Union with deity. When you hear the word image, identification comes to mind. Union comes to mind because it's a temple narrative. Hallelujah. For a representation. That means we become his representative. Because of that union, we become his representative. Remember, it's heaven in all the earth. God in the heart of man. That the man now becomes the representation
of God in all the earth.
Hope you are seeing that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that implies how God will fill the earth will be by his union with men. God will fill the earth by his union with men. In Numbers 14, verse 1. Numbers 14, verse 21. It says, the whole earth will be filled with his glory. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. The whole earth. So the glory will be what he does, which is his union with man. What does he do? Genesis 1, 26. Man in his image. Right? That is the seed of it. In all the earth. So what does God, what is God's glory? What is God's doxa? What is God's kabod? What does God do? Heaven in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following this. Hope you're following this. A younger fellow was sharing with me about Nigerian politics, and he said God has shown him who will be the next president. I said, okay. I said, so your leading, he said God has led him to see. I said, so God, all of God's leading that you have is to know who will be the next president. He said, yes, that you see. I said, if anybody imagined the winner, it's because people voted for him. Okay, everybody. It's because people voted for him. Glory to God. Don't open my day and go because he was a person. Look careful, lady. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. In Habakkuk 2:14, you see that it's the whole earth. The whole earth. The whole earth is God's plan. Hallelujah. Let's see how that word is union. Or let's see what the union or how the union will be explained by other writers apart from Moses. Remember, Moses called that union heaven and the earth, the spirit in the heart of man. Right? Right? Aha. He will write to them in Exodus, he will say, God's plan is to dwell amongst them. That word amongst is this word in them. So God's plan is to dwell in man. That's God's plan from the Genesis. God's plan from the Genesis is to dwell in man. God's plan. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Let's see Ezekiel. Ezekiel's commentary on it. Verse 24. Look at what God said. He says, I will take thee from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. Did you see that? And bring you to your own land. And bring you where? To your own land. Let's see what he now calls the land. He said, I'll bring your own land. Before you'll be thinking it is 1 acre of land in your village. Look at what he calls the land. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Did you see that? A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Did you see that? So what is that union? A new spirit will I put within you. Did you see that? And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. Did you see that? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's plan is to put his spirit where? In man. You hope you are seeing that? His spirit in man. Identification. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 25 very well. He says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. I will put a new heart I will give you. That is, I will put my spirit within you. So what does he call the spirit within you? He calls it, I will cleanse you. You see that? He calls the spirit within, I will cleanse you. Something by the side you need to see. Whenever you read forgiveness of sins, it speaks of the indwelling. Where is Ezekiel writing from? Ezekiel is writing from Moses. So if you go back to Moses, when you read the cleansing, when you read the cleansing, you would see it's the same thing with Genesis 1:1. When Moses speaks about he will forgive the iniquities, he is talking about the indwelling. Look at that Numbers 14:20. Numbers 14:20. God speaks of his forgiveness and he says his glory will fill the earth. Numbers 14. Let's rush down there. Hallelujah. Hope you follow it. Numbers 14. See? Verse 20 says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Did you see that? I have pardoned. What does it mean? He's referring to the iniquity. See, as soon as I leave, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. So what will be that glory? That glory will be what he does. Right? They will be forgiven. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. Let's get back to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. We'll explore all this in the second session. Ezekiel 37, 5. And thus saith the Lord God unto this bone. Say, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Also, referring to dry bone. The dry bone will be Genesis 1, 2. The earth without the heaven. The earth empty and void. Dry bones. And what did he say? I will cause breath to enter into that. When you use that word breath, the word breath there is the word ruach, spirit. That is, I will cause my spirit to enter into you. Is that union? Exactly. Hope you are seeing that? That will be union. So, how God wants to fill the earth is by his spirit inside. Hope you are following that. How does God want to fill the earth? By his spirit inside man. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. So Joel 2 verse 13. Look at Joel 2. Joel. Joel 2. Quickly. Everybody let's rush to Joel 2. I'll start from read verse 1 verse 13. So you understand. We did this during believer convention, right? We did call it Believer's Convention earlier in the year. I will take it up again from there. Don't Believer's Convention this time. But let's see something from Joel 2. Right there? Look at verse 1. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. What is it talking about? The day of the Lord. What does it call the day of the Lord? Verse 13. And rend your heart and not your garments. Is that? So, in the day of the Lord, you will rend your heart. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. When you hear the word merciful, is that the indwelling? Come on, we read it. Forgiveness of sin as what? As what? Indwelling. Union. Right? We're going to see that. Don't worry, it's coming. It says, slow to anger and great kindness and repented him of evil. Now look at verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Is that? And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. I am in the midst of Israel. Hallelujah. That is the union. You rend your heart, you know, and in your midst. Hallelujah. I'm in your midst. I will dwell in them. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm in your midst. How is he in our midst? Because he lives in us. That is the union. You know. Glory to God. Hope you're following this. So God is filling the earth. Hallelujah. God is filling the earth. God is making the desolate lands fruitful. God is building ruined cities. He's making the desolate land fruitful. That's what God is doing. He's on the earth. Hallelujah. He's making the desolate land fruitful. I love a song by Snatch. He says, the wilderness is not the fruitful ground. So the dry lands are river flowing by. And as your spirit is poured upon us, we will see in overflow. Hallelujah. Don't worry about the weather. Amen. Hallelujah. But the wilderness is becoming a fruitful ground. So what is God doing? If you are called upon as a worker in church, so what is God doing? God wants to build a football pitch for Arsenal. How?
Amen.
How? That this false prophecy. Football pitch? Be careful of that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So what is God doing? He said, God wants. No, you would wrap your mouth around it. Right? Tell them God and ask, what is God doing in the earth? God is making ruined cities his city. God is filling the whole earth. Hallelujah. What is the Spirit doing? The Spirit is filling the earth. Glory to God. That is what he wants to do around. You see it in the written word, right? It's there. Glory to God. God is filling the earth. God is making desolate cities fruitful. Desolate lands fruitful. That's what God is doing in the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And how will he do it? As we are coming home to what we're discussing today. Hallelujah. How will God do it? Or put, how is he doing it? Not how will he do it, but how is he doing it? Genesis 1:26-28. He will do it through his man. Let's make man in our image. That is the seed, right? And what would a man do? A man will replenish the earth, verse 28, and have dominion. So when you're thinking dominion is to kill chicken and eat. That's the meaning why the bishop of the sea, I want to. He told someone one time, said, he told the person, what do you want to eat? He said, the person replied, what meat do you want? The person said, do you have Air Force? I said, are you normal? I said, do you have Air Force? The Air Force is talking about chicken. It says birds that fly. So we say, if you want, or you give me Navy is water. Or you give me animal. Or you give me animal. Say that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Meat. I've seen someone said, let me tell you something. Someone said something to me a while ago, some years back, and it was very funny. I said, why are you eating snake meat? He said, didn't you see what the Bible says? You shall tread upon snakes and scorpions. So you have dominion. Your dominion is to be killing snakes.
Come on.
Hallelujah. You read? No, not what he's referring to. What does he call dominion? He says replenish, right? Right? Uh-huh. So that dominion is in replenishing. How about replenishing the snakes? It's in replenishing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means, when he says replenish the earth, it means that's how you have dominion. The replenish yet, as we've seen, is mala, right? It implies he will have to reproduce God's kind in men. You have to reproduce God's kind in men. So when you hear the word dominion and subdue, it's a kingdom word, showing it is God's kingdom in all the earth. Are you following me? It's God's kingdom in all the earth. God's kingdom. So when he uses animals will not be animals used literally, in a literal form. No! Don't do that! It's not animals used in a literal form. Hope you're following me. No. Rather, the animals will be used for different kind of men you will encounter on your journey to being or on your journey as God's man. Hallelujah. On your journey as God's man. Animals are sometimes the scriptures used to identify men or to describe men. In Genesis 49, Jacob gathered his children and he began to speak to them. Hallelujah. He began to speak to them. He calls Dan. Let's go to Genesis 49 quickly. Genesis 49. Amen. Okay. He calls Judah a lion, right? Right? In verse 8, it says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, and thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies, and thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. Do you see that? From the prey, my son, that hath gone up and stooped down, he crouched as a lion. Do you see that? That's what he calls Judah. Look at what he calls Dan. Now look at verse 16. It says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way. Did you see that? And an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that the rider may fall backward. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He calls Dan a serpent. How about that? Look at what he calls Benjamin in 27. He says, Benjamin, thou shalt raven as a wolf. You see that? As a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and in the night he shall divide the spoil. It is functionality. You see that? So they are trying to is describing his function and equate it to that of a wolf. You see that? So animals are used to describe men in their world. Amen. So when you get to Luke 10 and Jesus says, you shall tread upon snakes and scorpions. That word tread is a kingdom language too. Hallelujah. So the snakes and the scorpion he called the works of the enemy, and over all the works of the enemy. So he calls the snake and the scorpion the works of the enemy through men. Did you see that? True men. Hope you follow it. True men. So back to Genesis 2. Let's get to Genesis 2. True men. God, so we say, God will use his men. Hallelujah. God will use his men. Genesis 2, 4 verses 7. Okay, let's read verse 7 and 15. No, sorry, verse 9. And out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. He said the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at verse 15. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to dress and keep it. He put the man to dress and keep it. Abada Shamar. To dress and to keep it. So the word Abada Shamar is a word used for a priest. A priest. Hallelujah. The word used for a priest. Abad and Shama. Go to God. Hallelujah. So God's tax for man is to be, or God's tax for man is that of a priest. Is that of a priest. So the work of every believer is that of a priestly ministry. Are looking at this priestly ministry. I hope to take all of that, the priestly ministry of the believer. I heard that teaching by Pastor Chris Oyakhilome years back. Very long. And I guess it was up to part 17, I guess, yeah. Long. Three hours, or thereabouts. Hallelujah. Priestly ministry of the believer. Yes, but hallelujah. I guess we'll have to take that teaching sometime next year. Hallelujah. The priestly ministry of the believer. So the work of the believer is that of a priestly ministry. Priestly. Hallelujah. Is a priestly ministry. Look at Exodus 19:6. Are you there? Exodus 19:6. It says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." It says, "And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Say, "Thou shalt be unto me a kingdom of priests." So God's plan is for all of them to be his priests. But you know, they didn't function. So he now did was now have the house of Levi. That will now be what? That will not be a shadow of what God wants to do. But what does God want to do? All these people will be his priests. So God's plan is that all his children, every believer, is a priest. Hallelujah. His priest, therefore, Abad and Shama, his priest, therefore, will be the one that he will indwell. He will indwell. That is the man in his garden. Or put the man in his image, right? Right? Man in his image, so the man he will indwell. And what does he do? In Genesis 2:15, he puts man in his garden to dress and keep it. So that means the priests are those who are in God's garden. God's garden. Who are in his presence? Hallelujah. There are those in God's garden. There are those whom he dwells. Who carry his image. Hallelujah. Who bear his image. They are his representative in the earth. They carry him. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. John will put it this way. That we are in fellowship with the Father. We are in fellowship. Hallelujah. We are in fellowship. Let's see that in 1 John. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verses 3. It says, "That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Our fellowship is with the Father. Do you see that? So we're in fellowship with the Father. And when it says we're in fellowship with the Father, it speaks of our union. Word of God. Word of God. It speaks of our union. Amen. Amen. It speaks of our union. We're in fellowship. Therefore, how God will reach men will be through the agency of men. Or put, God will reach men through the agency of his priests. Of his priests. Something you will see as we discuss priestly ministry will be that a priest is not God's coined word. God is coined the word priest. It was what they had in their world. Hope you are following me. Yeah? It's what they had in their world. A priest is one who is in service to deity. And God will say, "You will be unto me a kingdom of priests." Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following that.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Look at Numbers 11. Matthew 11. Numbers 11. Hope you're following me. Okay. Jesus, I love you so, and I want you to know what you've done for me is not in vain. Have we said my claims on your holy name? Oh, how I love you, I love you so. I will stake my claim. Look at verses 29. Now, Moses chose 70. Right? Moses chose 70. And the Spirit of God came upon them and they began to prophesy. You see that? Now, some people that were not in that camp, some people that were not up there, that were in the camp began to prophesy. So, and Joshua, the son of Nun, ran to Moses and said, ah, should I stop them? Why are they prophesying? Look at what Moses' reply was. Verse 28, 29. And Moses said unto him, heaviest thou for my sake? Say, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. You see that? Were prophets. And that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. You see that? That God will put his spirit upon them. Look at what he says concerning the prophet. Look at what he says concerning the priest. He says, there will be to him a kingdom of priests. For God that all his people are prophets. You see that? All his people are priests. All his people are prophets. So that means something that you have to see, hallelujah, hallelujah, is that the priests are his prophets. Prophets. The word prophet is the word Nabi. Nabi. That is, they are his spokespersons. They are his spokesman. They will hear from God and speak to the people. Just like Aaron and Moses. He said, Moses, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh. And Aaron died prophet. So Moses will speak like God will speak, and the prophet will do what? Will take it and give to who? To Pharaoh. Hope you are following that.
Yes,
amen? So they will take God's word to these people. And he calls them priests. So priests are prophets. Hope you are following me. They will speak about God to the unsaved men. And they, how will they do it? It will be via the gospel, the preaching of the word, the announcing of God's kingdom. The announcing of God's kingdom. In Romans 1:16, Paul will say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Is that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's God's power. So the gospel is God's power to save men. Hallelujah. It's God's power to save men. It's God's power to reach the world. The gospel is God's power to make the wilderness a fruitful ground. It's God's power. Hallelujah. So God has trusted his very all to reaching men to us in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Remember Genesis 1:2. He said the Spirit, you said it's the Spirit working on the earth, right? And it will be through the preaching of the gospel. Therefore, when I set myself preaching the gospel, I am partnering with the Spirit in the work, in his work in all the earth. Remember, we're in fellowship with him. By default, we are partners with him. Hallelujah. By default, we are in fellowship with him. But when we get spiritually gospel, we are making active our partnership with him. Hallelujah. We make it active. By default, the man who is born again has the Spirit of God. He is in partnership with God's Spirit. Hallelujah. But he is active in that partnership when he begins to walk. Hallelujah. We are following him. Active in that partnership. Hallelujah. He's active there. So, in the preaching of the gospel, I am partnering with the Spirit in his walk in all the earth. And that partnership, that partnering is raising men. That partnering is discipling men for him. Hallelujah. And at the background of that word discipling men is the word the local church. So it implies that what God is doing in the earth is doing it through the local churches. He's raising men through the local churches. He's raising men through the local churches. The children of Israel, after they left Egypt, what did they do? They gathered. They gathered. They were together in the wilderness. They were together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that gathering is vital. That gathering is important. We'll explore all this in the section and the second and third section. Hallelujah. That gathering is vital. Very, very vital. Glory to God. The gathering is vital. Glory to God. So, in the book of Acts, it was clear, very clear, that even a blind man can see that all God does, he did it through the local church. You can't read the book of Acts outside gathering. You can't read it outside gathering. In Acts 2, 3,000 were saved. Acts 2, 3,000 were saved. And they were added to the church. They were added to their gathering. Do you see that? Added to that gathering. And they continued in teaching. In the teaching of the word in verse 42. So they were gathered. 3,000 were saved and they were gathered. Do you see that? They were saved to a gathering. They were saved to a gathering. Hallelujah.
Praise
in Acts 3, the same thing. People gathered. In Acts 5, the same thing. In Acts 6, let's look at Acts 6. Look at verses 6. It says, and when they said before the apostles, in whom they when they prayed, they laid hands on them, which is the seven who were to serve tables, deacons. And the word of God increased. Did you see that? Verse 7, the word of God increased. And the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Did you see that? They multiplied. The word grew and they multiplied. So, they said the word of God increased. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
The word of God increased. And what does he call the word of God increased? The disciples multiplied. Hallelujah. It shows you that the increase of God's word was in their local churches. The disciples multiplied. That means their gathering multiplied. Hallelujah. We are coming back to this shortly. So, when you hear the word of God increased, it was because their church meetings multiplied. Their gathering increased. In Acts 8:14, they said, the Bible says, the apostles, when they heard that Samaria has received the word. What does it mean when you hear Samaria has received the word? Acts 8:14. Now, the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word. They said unto them, Peter and John. What does it mean, Samaria received the word? It means that there is now a local church in Samaria. Right? There is now a local church in Samaria. In Acts 19, 9 to 20. Look at Acts 19 again. 9 to 20. This is a long reading, but I'll cut it short. Verse 9. But when the heavens were hardened, and believed not, for spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in one school of Tynos. He took his disciples and taught them. And they continued by the space of 2 years, that they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of God, of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. Did you see that? Look at verse 20. And mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Who heard the word? Asia, right?
Yes, sir.
Everyone heard the word. And I said, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So the so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed was that their local church increased. The church in Ephesus increased in numbers. So that mightily grew the word of God is numbers in the local church. Men were added to church. So ask yourself, is God's word growing in my locality, where my local church is? Say, God is growing. The local church is growing. God's word is prevailing. Are you receiving it in your local churches? Hallelujah. What God is doing in that your street. What God is doing in that area where the local church is. Are you receiving it? Can you say that the word of God is growing where you are? How are you partnering with the Spirit of God there? How are you partnering with the Spirit of God in Matthew, in Kaduna, in Dokmem? How are you partnering with the Spirit of God there? In Akumba, in the school. So how is Akumba? How is AUA? The word of God is growing. It's growing. And your numbers is not growing. How is the word growing? They recorded that the word grew because they had the impact in their numbers. They had the impact where? In their numbers. They had that impact in their numbers. So, truly, is God's word growing? It is growing. It's growing. So how are you and in your local church? How are you as a worker in church? How are you in your local church partnering with what God's Spirit is doing where you are? How are you partnering? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't say, I'm a worker. My role is operations. My new office in Christ is operations department. My new office in Christ is media. I spend most of the time doing media work. No. Take notes. There's no department in church called prayer group or evangelism department. Hallelujah. It's for a reason. Because that is the role of every believer. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 6 again. Who did they pray for? They prayed for men to serve tables. They laid hands on men to serve tables. Is that operation department? Exactly, operation department. Men who serve tables. Men who take your pastor. They laid hands on men. But you know what? In verse 7, the word grew. That means, the word grew. In verse 8, we saw that Stephen preached the word. In Acts 8, Philip was mentioned that he got to Samaria and Samaria received the word. Acts 8:5, Acts 8:14. Hallelujah. By Acts 8:20, you begin to hear Philip again with the Ethiopian Enoch. Hallelujah. Very vital. They didn't say we should just be serving tables. That is our new role in the body of Christ. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That implies that though I'm a worker in church, which is very vital, as we will discuss later on in the evening, it doesn't change my role in the preaching of the gospel. It doesn't change my role. Hallelujah. Rather, it implies I have to do more. Hallelujah. Amen. Though I serve in my local church in this capacity, in that capacity, I am yet going to do more God's work. Hallelujah. What is the essence of operation department when there are nobody operating? What is the essence of the media team when the whole church is only filled of media team? Who are you doing the media for? What is the essence of the security team when there's nobody to secure? Hallelujah. What is the essence of the ushering department when there's nobody to usher? The ushering department becomes vital. The media becomes vital when there are people you are working for. Hallelujah. When there are men you are serving. Glory to God. Something we're going to see. So that means we say man's task is Abad and Shammah. The word used for the priest. Abad and Shammah. We explore some of those things into the evening. But Abad is used for a priest. His service towards God. Hallelujah. And then we'll have his service towards men. Shammah. Hallelujah. Cain was asked, who is thy brother? I said, am I my brother's Shammah? Am I my brother's keeper? That means we'll have a ministry to access. Glory to God. So how will I have ministry? The work in the local church will not be effective if there are no men in the local church. So I'm a worker in church to understand that the real work is in the world. To bring men in that I can serve them in the local church. Hallelujah. Amen. I can serve them in the local church. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. 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 So, what God is doing in the earth is that he's filling the earth via the local churches. Via strong local churches. If you read Matthew 36, where we'll take it up from in the next section, we'll see that God, Matthew 9:36, God is recruiting men into his house. Hallelujah. He's not recruiting men into the army. He's recruiting men into his harvest. Hallelujah. Into his harvest. Into his work in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you hear me. Recruiting men into his work. And he's going to recruit those men through the men he has recruited. Who are the men he has recruited? Those are the men of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Men that have the Spirit indwelling them. So God's task in all the earth. We're rounding up. God's task in all the earth is making the whole earth his dwelling place. Making the whole earth his habitation. Every man. So in God's plan is every man. In God's plan is every boy, every girl. Different kinds of men from different walks of life. God doesn't segregate. God doesn't discriminate. God wants all men in. And as partners with him, has given us his tools. Has given us our responsibility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The question is, how effective, how active are you in this partnership? How active are you in this partnership? It's a question you ask yourself. How active am I? You know, you're going to spend time as we get prepared for the next section to reflect on that. You're going to spend time to look at your work from January to date. How effective have I been in the local church? How effective have I been? How effective have I been? How active have I been in this partnership with God? How active? How active? I say this always. You are a leader when you turn to your back and you see men following you. When men are not following you, you are not a leader. I say that to say this. And you look back from January to date. How have you affected lives for Christ? What would you call your works in the gospel of our Lord Jesus? Where are the men you are discipling? How serious have you been with it? And then you begin to look at it again. It will cause you, let me tell you what it will cause you to do. To cause you to have a repentant heart this afternoon. This morning into the afternoon. And then take it up to pray. Pray about it. You know, you have new commitments. I know. You have new commitments. How active have you been with what God is doing in your street, in your town, in your locality? How active have you been? So painful that you hear believers that should be active with the work, fasting and praying. Some sit and say they are watching Big Brother. How? Your cell is not growing. You are saying you don't know what to do, but you don't have to sit down and watch Big Brother. No. You know what to do. Just that you've just been a lazy believer. You've just been a lazy believer. You have just been a believer. You have not taken time. Or a believer who have not seen, who is not active. Let me use that one. On serious lazy. The work needs your activeness. You're partnering with the Spirit. You see, Jesus told them on his way to Jerusalem, and they were singing and singing. And they tried to stop the disciples. They said, why are you back? Why are they singing? He said to them, he said, if this one do not praise me, I will raise up stones. See, God is in the business of raising up stones. I said something to Ross years back when we started ministry. And to some few people, especially some pastors, I say, and I keep saying that, it keeps coming back to me, see, that the reason why we are in ministry, why we are a church, why we were called, okay, that you see, is because there were people, I say it very well, there were people who were sent to do this task, but they neglected it. God is always raising up stones. He's always raising up stones. So the work God has committed to your trust, if you don't do it, you raise up some other people to do it. And you know what will happen to you? You will loot yourself because you didn't obey God. Because you didn't obey God. Sometimes we've had zeals, or sometimes we have noggins in the spirit to go out at some certain point to preach the gospel, but we've killed those spirit pumps, those promptings. Sometimes we'll just say, yeah, next time. Why would you say next time? Remember, by default, you are supposed, you are in partnership with the Spirit. By default. So you have to be active in it. When I mean your partnership with the Spirit, it means when the Spirit is working, remember, God will do carry sacks through his men. Right? So you get the knockings of the Spirit to go here, to go there, to go here, to go there, to see this person, see this person. But you refuse. You are like a dormant partner. Dormant. unusual partner. Hallelujah. Unusual. Say, I'm useful. I'm useful in God's hand. I'm useful. I'm a useful vessel that God uses to save the unsaved, to reach the unreached. I'm God's vessel. Hallelujah. You know, Paul the Peter, I say in a great man's house, say they are vessels unto honor. Amen. Amen. I remember my prayer, I used to pray. Like I told us during prayer meeting on calls, during our prayer time, I said there are some weird prayer that I pray. Well, some of you will not even know, if I thought Pastor, a word man, should you be praying like this? I pray. Hallelujah. I pray prayer. Like God, your fire or I die. I pray prayer like that. I say, Lord, make me your vessel to reach your seed. I pray that kind of prayer. Why not be a useless vessel? Ah! Lord, may my faithfulness never be in the past. It's not fear, it's just my prayer. Not my commitment. Hallelujah. I say things like that. May they not say tomorrow and say, he used to be a pastor. God forbid. Hallelujah. Ah! He used to preach the gospel. He used to. No! No! And then, Lord, until my dying day, until my dying day, I will keep preaching. May I be useful to the end. To the last day. Whether I'm 100, whether I'm 150, I will preach the gospel. See, my feet cannot carry me. See, my hands cannot move. I'll be useful in your kingdom. You know, I said this to pastors years back. I said, there's no retirement. I cannot retire. Retire and do what? There's no retirement in this world. There's no retirement. Until my last day, I'll be active. Hallelujah. I'll be active. With a gray hair, I'll be active. Very, very active. Hallelujah. So, ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Am I partnering with what the Spirit is doing in my locality, in my world today? Am I partnering? Am I just a lazy fellow? Some believers are lazy. I'm very lazy. You must be active. The work of ministry needs activeness. So you're going to take records. You're going to go back again after this section to take records. Take records. What have I done? How have I handled January till September 30th? How have I handled? How have I handled it? Have I been an unfruitful servant? How have I handled it? How have you handled it? I said it always. Look at church. Look at the growth in church. What have you done within the last 9 months? In 3 months' time, or in 2 months' time from now, we'll be saying Happy New Year. Would you be able to say Happy New Year with your full chest? That it was truly a year of net breaking harvest for you. So it's a callback. We still have the next few months, few weeks to the end of the year to put in our best, to be active during the work of the ministry. Let's pray. Let's pray. We are just coming to a commitment.
till my dying moment, Lord.